Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we are, a minute past the hour on this 6th day of March 2012. What had been 6 inches of snow is now gone to a 60-degree, clear, bluebird, lovely day. Consistency, you know, that's another one of those victims of climate change. Consistency of weather patterns. Oh, well. So I should probably make a program note right off the bat. Thanks to Randy and a couple of others out there for letting me know that the website is down. I've been out of town all day long in a meeting that started in the morning and ended at about 4, at which point I came racing back up the mountain to get into the chair. And so was unable to address it. But anyway, the website's down. You can get into the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room via the back door. Jug of Punch is in there with me right now. And you can get the stream over at White Rose or iTunes Radio or Stitcher Radio or Tuner Internet Radio or TuneIn Radio. My goodness gracious, there's a million different ways to get the program now. And none of them involve me calling anyone a slut. So, hey, we may be having troubles, but we're not having those kind of troubles. Speaking of Jabba the Slut, he's now lost something on the order of 30 advertisers. And the civically challenged idiots of the right wing,
his free First Amendment rights is being trampled by them liberals.
No, not so much. Not so much. Because after all, as we all understand here, and as we noted on the program last night, I have to say we, because remember, Pat Boone is upset by people who say I. We noted here on the program last night that no one's trampling on Rush Limbaugh's First Amendment rights. He can go out and stand on the street corner there, and he can trundle his jiggling bulk out to a street corner in Palm Beach, Florida, or wherever the hell it is that he is keeping the latest Mrs. Limbaugh in a pit. And he can stand on the street corner and scream slut, 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 until to his filthy little heart's content. And with the exception of perhaps some public decency laws, nobody's going to bother him. Right? Yeah. But he does not have a right to... The First Amendment doesn't cover, you know, that thing that the Repiglicans all love so much. The free market! Oh, that free market's biting little flush in the butt. Let's see. As of showtime, who all has he lost? The latest to go, Capital One. They recently aired some ads on the Oxymorons program. And Capital One said, "We have reiterated our advertising choices to our media partners. If an ad did run, it was not authorized by us, and we do not want it to happen again." Good for you, Capital One. Good for you. As my buddy Rick Smith would say. Good for them. Of course, that is a bit of a, they didn't do it, and they didn't know who did it, and even if he did do it, he was only following orders. Down East Energy has also bailed out. It's at 32. Netflix, they were mentioned on the program last night. They said goodbye to the jiggling, pendulous bulk of Jabba the Slut. We have instructed our advertising agency to make sure that this error will not happen again. Apparently, the two Netflix spots were picked up in error as part of local news breaks during the Rush Limbaugh show. Ain't gonna happen no more. They are avoiding him in droves. And the sad thing is, and Sandra touched on this last night, the man has been a sleaze merchant for decades. And only now is he finally getting his comeuppance. Well, far be it from me to criticize. It's true. And I'm gonna be glad when he's gone. Frankly, if he, well, he couldn't throw himself into the ocean, he'd just sort of jiggle and bob back onto the surface like some sort of, onto the beach like some sort of noxious pool toy. I know, that's probably an image you don't even want to contemplate, is it? Hi, by the way, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, America's liberal voice. We call what we do here Conversation Radio. And we don't really have a name for Tuesday. Yesterday was More In Monday. Tomorrow's prayer meeting Wednesday. Thursday is Thorn in the Side Thursday. Friday's Friday on the Front Porch. And poor little Tuesday just sort of... what is Tuesday's child, anyway? The Tuesday's child is terminally depressed and it chews its toenails or something. I don't know. But it's Tuesday. And 32 advertisers. But you know what? It didn't slow the oxymoron down. Not even the least. He wasn't so keen on mentioning Sandra Fluke by name today. I don't know, maybe legal counsel has gotten through to him. Oh, Rush, you might want to stop that whole slander thing you're doing there. That could jeopardize all them millions that... Right, and then people might find out about Mrs. Limbaugh living in that pit and everything. But where he has previously been assaulting Sandra Fluke as a representative of women, he took the opposite tack today. Instead, attacking women generally. He's mad at an author by the name of Tracy McMillan, because of a book she's written about the American food system. Oh, dear God, not another one of those, please. It's getting hard enough to find stuff to eat. But the thing, it's called The American Way of Eating, Undercover at Walmart, Applebee's, Farm Fields, and the Dinner Table. Well, that just sounds terrible. It's getting... good reviews, and I'm going to have to look into it, because anything that causes causes Jabba the Slut to have a hissy must not be an entirely bad thing. So let's find out. It's just a short clip. I promise it won't ruin too many meals. Okay? Tell us about it, O Jiggling One.
It has to be the best, it has to be the most expensive, but it has to be practically given away. Otherwise, what? Walmart is racist. That's how this works. This is how pressure is brought to bear on people in the private sector. Accuse them of racism, discrimination, servicing only a few small percentage points of the market. Force them to cave to the all-powerful demands of the federal government. Because to do otherwise is to incur their wrath, and nobody wants that. What is it with all of these young, single, white women, overeducated? Doesn't mean intelligent. For example, Tracy McMillan, the author of this book,
What is it with all of these young, single, white women overeducated? It doesn't mean intelligent. I guess by extension you can also note that Flush Limbaugh, who was a community college dropout, that being undereducated also doesn't mean intelligent either now, does it? But we don't want to talk about Flush all night long. He's sickening. He's disgusting. So let's talk about... No. Well, I guess we're gonna. It's Super Tuesday. That's the day when all kinds of states banded together to try to get themselves some relevance in the primary process, because after, well, you know, after Michigan and South Carolina and Florida and Iowa and New Hampshire, this was a way of a few years ago of trying to create a little bit of buzz. And frankly, I don't give a damn who wins any of these damned the filthy right wing Republican primaries. I don't. But I do care about one race. I care very deeply about one race. And it's taking place in Ohio. And we've talked about it a little bit from time to time on the program. It's the byproduct of some nasty-ass redistricting accomplished by the Republican-controlled state legislature there in Ohio. And they took Marcy Kaptur, who is the ranking female in the House of Representatives, and they created a new district in which they pitted her against the single most consistently and conscientiously progressive member of the House of Representatives, Dennis Kucinich. And over the course of the race, Marcy Kaptur has done sleazy things. For instance, what is this line? Just listen to how goofy this is. This Tuesday, the choice is yours. Art Modell, LeBron James, Dennis Kucinich, and another moving van in Cleveland, or Ohio's own Marcy Kaptur. That's the sleazy ad that she's running, because Clevelanders despise the very name of Art Modell. He's the guy who took the Browns out of Cleveland and took them to Baltimore. Cleveland without the NFL is like, oh, I don't know, Florida without sunshine. And, of course, you know, there was the vicious hatred of LeBron James when he decided not to stay with the Cleveland Cavaliers and instead went out of the Miami Heat, you know. Yeah. And they're just like Dennis Kucinich. What a sleazy twit she is. Now, the news articles I've read refer to her as being another progressive. And I guess she's done a couple of progressive things somewhere along the way. But she's got big money from the military-industrial complex. And, among other things, she has been supported by a super PAC out of Texas. And this is the deal-breaker for me. She thinks that it would just be great if only we could build that toxic pipeline through the middle of the United States, the Keystone XL pipeline. If we could just build that, everything would be hunky-dory. Lord, it'd be sunshine and violets all over in the front yard. Right. So that's being decided today. The polls are not closed in Ohio as yet. It is not, if you live anywhere near that new district, it is not too late to go and vote. If you live in that district and you are and you care about having a consistently, conscientiously progressive voice in the House of Representatives, pick up the phone, start calling, knock on doors. Just have you gone and voted today? This is the single most important race going on in the country today, period. It determines whether or not there will be, there will continue to be a strong progressive voice in the House of Representatives, or whether Marcy Kaptur will get to be the ranking member of the House Appropriations Committee. I'd rather have the progressive consistently, you know, right, correct. I wish I could vote for him. Unfortunately, I'm here and I can't. But you may be there, and you could, if you haven't already, get thee to the polls. And by the way, just backing up for a minute, if you ever had any doubts or any curiosity, maybe I should sign up for that LifeLock identity protection system. Don't. As of Monday, LifeLock has said that it is staying with Flush Flimball, and that's mainly because, you know, it's a pretty dodgy operation after all the head of the organization got his own identity stolen. We do not agree with Rush Limbaugh's recent comments, but we acknowledge his apology. That's from LifeLock Chief Marketing Officer Marvin Davis. At this time, we are not making any changes to our advertising program. That makes LifeLock, American Forces Radio, Hillsdale College, and Lear Capital that are standing by their man. So you've never given LifeLock any of your money, have you? God, I hope not. I mean, the reason LifeLock advertises over there among the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, dead-from-the-neck-up goobers of the ditto-head army is because they're about the only ones that are simple enough to buy into a dodge like that. So, assuming, just like if you drink a fifth of cheap tequila and you think, oh, I need to sign off that LifeLock. Sober up! Don't do it. Don't do it. All kinds of weirdness out there this evening. Let's see, we've got weirdness in Minnesota. We've got Trump weirdness. Oh, we don't have to talk about Trump, do we? Let's see, we are. Yeah, uppity, overeducated single women. Yeah, okay. And this, this business of, as noted, another reminder, the website is down, the headonradionetwork.com website is down. No, Ray, I will not call you a slut. I just won't do it. I'm sorry. No. By the way, the number of, okay, it's gone up to 35 now. Jesus, this is like some sort of telethon. 35 advertisers have now stepped away from the jiggling one. David in Tennessee noting, as far as LifeLock is concerned, it has been well established that everything LifeLock can and may do for a subscriber can be done for one's self. Every damn thing. You don't even have to go and buy a real security program that could protect NASA. Everything one needs is in Norton and a few precautions. Like you said, it's for chumps. LifeLock. We all remember the three commandments, right? Never mind the ten, the three. You can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break. And don't smarten up a chump. And the vast, you know, the vast, the reason that so many, a lot of these advertisers, you know, the Life Locks and the Buy Gold Coin and the vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls and drop them on Swedish mattresses, the reason they're advertising on Limbaugh is because Limbaugh's listeners are chumps. And they are you out there, Reverbo? They are well chumped, and they're staying that way. Oh, but I can't. Okay, I can't. I can't do that. I can't save this field till tomorrow. It's too good. You know, I was checking my email last night after the program, and I got an email from I got a note from our buddy Dennis in Kentucky. Here in a couple more months, we're going to be back mowing grass together. But he noted that after the tornadoes ripped across the midsection of the country a couple of days ago, he said, talk about being kicked while you're down. It was followed up by a 6-inch snowfall. That's true. So often it's the case that after the tornadoes blow through, what follows is bluebird perfect weather. Which is another form of being kicked while you're down, but at least what might be left of your physical world isn't getting frozen and snow. And that's brutal enough. And like I said, I can't save this until tomorrow. David in Tennessee noted last night, some things won't wait till Wednesday. And this won't. Who could it possibly be that would make me say something like that? Well, come on.
This is Don from Illinois who wants to know, why did God send the tornadoes?
God didn't send tornadoes. God set up a world in which certain currents interfere and interact with other currents. When you have a warm group of air coming out of the south, coming up against the cold masses up in the north, mm-hmm. You'll get vortexes, and that in turn will spawn tornadoes.
You mean
God
it ain't
doesn't
demons?
Send tornadoes to hurt people. He doesn't send, you know, we call them acts of God, but they're not. All I can say is that why do you build houses in a place where tornadoes are apt to happen?
Well, and this year, of course, the weather patterns, the warm winter and the warm, you know, early part of the year that we're having seems to affect all of that. But I think the bigger question for people spiritually is always not so much why did God send them, but why didn't he intervene? You know, you think people always ask that question.
Well, if enough people were praying, he would intervene. You could pray. God, Jesus stilled the storm. You could still storms. But, you know, the hurricane, for example, is a release mechanism that God set in to take the heat out of this world and to transfer heat around various parts of the globe. It's very necessary. The fact that people decide they want to build houses on the edge of an ocean, it's their fault, it's not God's. You know, it's the same thing with if you're going to build a house in the San Andreas Fault. You know there's going to be a fault, you know the earth is faulted, and there are going to be earthquakes. Don't blame God for doing something foolish.
Thanks again to the fine folks at rightwingwatch.org for taking it for the team day after day and recording this stuff. By the way, he was talking about people who insist on building things right on the edge of the ocean where they can be hit by hurricanes. Shh. Don't tell Pat that he done went and built his studios in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Virginia Beach is not ironically named. It really is, right there, you know, on the ocean. Right. But you can't beat Pat for some just straight-up Christian compassion. Why'd you build your house where God had put it to send a tornado? This is the kind of apologetics you get from it. But the one that grabbed me, did it grab you? Was that Well, if enough people would have prayed, the tornadoes wouldn't have come. Imagine the supreme ruler of the universe that Pat Robertson worships. Hey, St. Peter, how are we doing with the anti-tornado tote board over there? Well, Lord, you said you wanted 2,512, and we've only gotten 2,511 prayers, Lord. Let them have it! Smite them good, Pete! Thirty-nine people died in those storms. And this follower of the Prince of Peace says it's because not enough people prayed the tornadoes away. Remember that movie Twister? Who was that? Bill Pulliam and I can't remember her name from Mad About You. You know, there are real people who are storm chasers out there. You reckon we could get, because, I mean, God tells Pat who's going to be the president and tells Pat who made the, God tells Pat why he sent those 19 terrorists to attack the Pentagon and the Twin Towers and the White House and he tells him all that. I mean, they have conversation, you know, they sit on the porch and they just have guy talk. You reckon? You reckon then that, seeing how Pat's such a top shelf prayer, you reckon maybe he, if we could get him in a storm chaser vehicle, I don't know, take him out to Oklahoma Stan or somewhere, he'd feel at home out there. Why are you building that? Well, you know, and just sort of drop him in front of a tornado and get praying, Pat. Pray the tornado away. This from the same crowd, of course, who prays the gay away. Yeah, I heard some polling data on the way home. I think only 20% of voters today showing up for Super Tuesday said that character mattered or religious affiliation mattered. That doesn't bode well for the candidate from Frothy, the man from Frothy. No, the religious right at this point is, well, we just got to have somebody can beat that one that's living in our White House. Maybe they should pray. You know. So, Jim, yeah, the website is down. You can still get the stream via White Rose Society, via iTunes Radio, via Stitcher Radio, Tuner Internet Radio, TuneIn Radio. But the direct stream is still right there at whiterosesociety.org. Then you can get the stream. I imagine, given the time difference between here and Australia, John Fox is working on it. But the stream server is still working quite nicely. Oh, Helen Hunt. Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Ray noting, you know, folks been praying for peace for thousands of years now. Ain't really worked yet. And we just can't quite... that's right, Ray. I mean, we just can't quite get enough people to pray the tornadoes away. You just missed it by that much, right? Tell that to those 39 grieving families, you filthy swine, Pat Robertson, you. Right. So, there's that. It is going to be a busy night. But starting out with Pat, that was too easy. Story coming out of, come on, you know it, Texas. We've got that this evening. Oh, we'll go ahead. Yeah, why not? Rick Santorum's words are coming back to haunt him, just as Flush's are. He was a second-term member of Congress in 1994, back when he and Newt Gingrich and the rest of those people who had a contract out on America. And he was running around to town hall meetings and TV appearances and so forth. And he said, Rick Santorum said this, "What we have is moms raising children in single-parent households, simply breeding more criminals." Huh? Yeah, there's that pro-life Rick Santorum. "What we have is moms raising children in single-parent households, simply breeding more criminals." Breeding! 1994, 2004, yeah, so 18 years later. The women folk have to be breeders, but gee, many Christmas. Of course, this is hand in hand with that bill that, which state was it? Somebody help me. We mentioned it a couple of nights ago. Maybe it was Friday. That bill that said that, single parent households are to be de facto considered to be abusive and neglectful households. Is that Wisconsin? I think it was Wisconsin. You know, the state with that Union local flag that says Wisconsin 1848. Still not over that. So in Rick Santorum's world in 1994, a woman didn't need to be breeding more criminals, but she also couldn't get an abortion. By the way, another in the long list of people dropping Flush Flimball, JCPenney. You know, the company that all the little right-wingers and ditto monkeys and freaks were so mad at a couple of weeks ago. "Well, they done hired that Ellen DeGenerate." Well, JCPenney said, "We have a strict no-run policy in place specifically regarding the Rush Limbaugh show. After JCPenney confirms the facts, we will contact any local radio station that is in violation of our radio advertising parameters to ensure that our no-run policy is adhered to regarding this program." 33. Can't wait till we get to 42. His First Amendment rights is being trampled. Yeah. Not so much. So, hey, welcome to the program.
Bob?
Jim?
Just give me if you could, just, I can't get you through White Rose. I don't know what's wrong.
WhiteRoseSociety.org, not .com.
Okay, all right, I'll try that.
Okay. That was quick and easy. That was Jim. thanks, Kim. Ambush question. Are you going to give us your opinion about Tebow being on The Bachelor show? I'm still waiting for your response, your real response. You've heard this, right? That TV show that I have never watched it, no, not once. But it involves something about giving out roses and... I don't know. But there is some talk that little Timmy Jebo may be on The Bachelor. Yeah, really. Of course, I don't. Well, how do I really feel about it, Kim? I think he would be out of place I don't think he digs chicks. And that's it. If they had a gay bachelor show, he'd be right there. Except he can't because he's a fundamentalist, and I don't know. Watching The Bachelor would be like that scene from A Clockwork Orange where they've got Alex strapped into the chair with his eyelids propped open with those hateful like metal tongs, and they just keep dropping little eye drops in his eyes as they reprogram it. That's what watching The Bachelor would feel like to me, with or without little Timmy Gebo. Agnes, quit Tebowing in the studio. We've talked about that. Daggummit.
Tebow for Jesus, yay.
See what happens when I leave the studio for a day? I don't know. Maybe The Bachelor could advertise on Flush Flemball. That may be all that's left. David in Tennessee noting, you know, what with several Repig-licking consultants saying that, Rush can't deliver a pizza, let alone votes. Flush's real wardrobe, as in the king's new clothes, have become apparent to Repig-licking operatives. He's not quite the power person he once told himself that he is. Okay. I'll buy that, Kim. The right-wing fundamentalists would love him. Virginal love on TV. You may be assuming facts, not in evidence. And then, of course, what's his name? The backup quarterback would probably get mad about that, too. Thanks, Robert. I appreciate that. iTunes horn connection okay in Australia. John is hard at work on the website, and he's trying to restart part of it, and it ain't working. It's enough that drive a human being to drink. One of the few bonuses that come with all this turf. Hey, wow, that's really cool. A little tweet going out from our friend Ultra Verified, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Please support Ben Birch. He's provided a great service to the left for many years, providing streaming online. How very cool. Thank you for that tweet, Ultra Verified. Thank you very much. Yeah, maybe we are. Maybe we are, Lottie. Maybe we're seeing the demise of the Repig-licking Party. Maybe they are going the way of the Whigs. Can I call... Yeah. Yeah, I can, John. I will do that. I will do that right now. Okay, here's the deal. John needs for me to touch base with Ben Birch, the previously mentioned. Kevin wants Jim to know that TuneIn.com is working just fine, as is iTunes Radio. TuneIn.com is another place that you can get the horn stream. So we will go to the phones momentarily. David in Tennessee noting, I did Google search, head on radio, picked select stream under the horn menu, and golly, Sergeant Carter, there's Bob. Okay, we've got a go. How long has it been since we've had a Gomer Pyle reference on this program? Hello, Lou Ann Pooley.
Hello, Gomer.
Dear God. So here's what we're going to do. We'll take a little break, and I'm going to get in touch with Ben, and you are going to light up the phone lines, because it is Tuesday, and Tuesday doesn't have a name, and Tuesday's child, plays with its earwax or whatever. You know the number, right? 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. The direct dial number, 304-658-3333, and as David from Maine so frequently notes, I don't give the information out enough. The email address is Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, at gmail.com. We'll come back after a break, and we've got the Green News Report on the way. So line them up and jump right in. I hate to leave folks. I hate to leave folks on hold at the end of the evening. This is a great way for that not to happen. If you dial in now, plenty of space and plenty of time. Okay, let's do that. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the Horn.
Polly and I went to the circus. Polly got help with a rolling pin. We are even with the circus. Cause we brought tears, but we didn't go in. Won't like it when I pull it. He's in a bag doing his father O'Reilly for cops that you like away. He's hiding in the shed. We're going with him. I told my brother, when the police come, don't say nothing, don't say nothing. And the police will go. They don't like it when
thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, March 6, 2012.
Already there's too much loose talk of war.
Iran war talk jacks up U.S. gas prices.
If it continues to go higher, it will crater the economy by August.
As Republicans cheer.
Echoes of McCarthyism.
A Virginia court smacks down a climate denier witch hunt. The new normal for tornado season. Plus,
besides compensation, they want the truth.
2 years after disaster, BP settles with Gulf Coast residents.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
Issues matter, and reality matters.
Oh, Newt, why start now? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, over the last week, we've had two different huge storm systems, both featuring tornadoes of an EF4 level. Now, while we've talked for years that, you know, no one weather system indicates climate change, this sort of extreme swing in the weather is precisely what scientists have been predicting for decades.
Indeed it is. This unusually mild winter plus a warmer Gulf of Mexico are loading up the tornado gun early this year. It's just 1 week into March and already we're seeing more tornadoes and more intense storms than usual for this time of year, including those two EF4 tornadoes, the second highest designation. It's already also the deadliest March for tornadoes in nearly 20 years, according to the National Climatic Data Center. The death toll likely would have been higher without new updated early warning systems that have been funded by taxpayers. Gas prices are at record highs for this time of year, again, not due to any actual supply crunch, but because of Wall Street speculators' concern over a potential conflict with Iran disrupting oil supplies.
We even have a glut right now.
Indeed,
don't we?
We do. Over the weekend at the conference for AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, President Obama called for cooling the rhetoric on conflict with Iran.
Over the last few weeks, such talk has only benefited the Iranian government by driving up the price of oil, which they depend on to fund their nuclear program.
Higher gas prices may hurt the economy and American consumers, but not Republicans, because it benefits their prospects of winning the election in November, according to Republican presidential candidate and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich on CNN.
The price of gasoline is becoming a genuine crisis for many American families. If it continues to go higher, it will crater the economy by August, because people will have no discretionary income.
Is it my imagination, or does Newt Gingrich sound downright giddy there?
Yeah, it does seem that there are kind of glad that these higher gas prices might be good for them and for big oil.
I can't imagine why.
In other reality-denying news, score one for academic freedom.
Rachel Levinson, the senior counsel of the American Association of University Professors, has said that your action, quote, had echoes of McCarthyism.
The Virginia State Supreme Court has dismissed, with prejudice, a lawsuit from Virginia's Republican State Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, a climate change denier, and his attempt to obtain the personal emails of climate scientist and former University of Virginia professor Michael Mann, the author of the Hockey Stick Temperature Graph. Cuccinelli said he was investigating whether Mann defrauded Virginia taxpayers by manipulating scientific evidence, even though the hockey stick graph has been vindicated many times over.
And even though apparently he had no evidence to make that claim.
Finally,
one of the things that the clients want is besides compensation, they want the truth.
British Petroleum has agreed to an out-of-court settlement with plaintiffs hurt by the BP oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico nearly 2 years ago, the worst oil spill in the nation's history. In the proposed settlement, BP estimates it will pay $7.8 billion to 120,000 plaintiffs, from residents to businesses, to settle claims related to the 2010 spill that decimated the Gulf Coast's commercial, fishing, and tourism industries. The estimated settlement is slightly more than BP's fourth quarter profits for 2011. And that's in addition to about $14 billion, BP says, it's already paid in the aftermath of the spill. But it's not over. The partial settlement does not include fines from federal or state governments, where BP faces up to $18 billion in civil pollution fines and damages on the federal level alone, and also does not include potential criminal charges.
Did I hear you right that this settlement equals about one quarter of profits for BP?
Yep.
It sounds like they're getting off pretty easy. Who would have thunk it? For more on that story and the others we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News Report, at least until our settlement goes through with BP. Remember, you can subscribe to all of our reports for free at iTunes. You can listen to us on your mobile device via Stitcher Radio and follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap! There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius. We got your soap right here.
And got your bath and body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
Minutes before the hour, and I have to wonder.
So you say there's a race of men in the trees. Your thought of legislation. Thanks for calling. Wait on my calls like.
Yeah, I have to wonder if Lester the Nightfly ever had problems like this down on Mount Belzoni. Huh. This is the horn, and I don't know. This is the. Somebody took the website down on Super Tuesday edition. It is being worked on as we speak. So let's try. By the way, tweets coming in from Hornies here, there, and yonder. Fritz just sent a message along saying just got in the pickup and streaming the horn via TuneIn Radio in Podunk, Southeast Arkansas. Stop to type message. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you stopped, Fritz. Texting and driving don't mix. But I am glad to know that the stream is getting out. Apparently, we just got attacked on the website end. Because, you know, it's intolerable to even have a little bit of progressive broadcasting out there. Well, you know, because jiggling oxymorons can't win any arguments if there's anybody else countering them. But at any rate, to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Jello and frothy.
That just doesn't even.
Jello and frothy.
That just sounds awful.
I know it.
That's why I mention it like that. Because when you think about it, it is. So, anyway, I was just calling Bob. This is Kevin in Colorado Springs.
Yes, indeed, I know that.
And just wanted to call and check in with you. Tonight I'm going to be doing my civic duty and going to the caucuses for the Democrats. I got a lot of choices on the Democratic ballot, so might even be back in time to catch the end of your program.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I guess the president is showing up unopposed, or what?
I think Randall Terry might be on the ballot out here. I'm not sure. I'll have to see when I get there.
Well, you know, we wanted a primary challenger for Obama. There he is.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm just thinking of 26. If you think it's crazy now, assuming Obama wins re-election, can you imagine what 2016 is going to be like?
It's going to be hell among the yearlings. That's all there is to it.
Yes, it is. So, and that's pretty much all I had. I just wanted to check in with you.
Well, I've always wondered what caucuses are like because I've never lived in a caucus state, and I've always thought that are they a little more fun than just going and voting in a primary? Or, I mean, do you get to argue with folks? Or I don't.
Yeah.
Tea and cookies. What?
Yeah. To all of the above. The last caucus I went to was the senatorial race a couple years ago with Bennett and Romer. And you got a chance to talk to the other people and see who they were voting for, kind of make your case for why you were supporting which candidate. And been voted, and you know it was a very low key atmosphere, very conversational. The person sitting next to you may have been for the other candidate, there was no angst between you. I'm sure the Republican caucuses couldn't come close to what we had in terms of congeniality, but you know it was very nice atmosphere. I enjoyed it. So, and I'm going tonight principally because, yeah, I know Obama's the only one on the ballot, but, you know, I want to stay as involved as I can. And
But you've also got down ballot candidates, right?
We should. I think so. I'm really not sure what this ballot is going to include tonight because of there's just been so much going on in the state of Colorado that we don't have a senator to be reelected this year, and I don't know of any Democratic challengers in my district for the House. So, you know, kind of going to be one of those things where once I get there, I'll find out. But, yeah, it would be a down-ballot kind of year where, you know, assuming there were a challenger for every office, you're going to have the congressional offices open, all the congressional seats, and maybe one senator's seat. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know what they'll do in terms of a platform and that kind of thing.
Well, and being as how it's Colorado Springs, all the family values types have got to be over on the GOP side, right?
No, I consider myself very much family values and.
Well, but I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The ones who thump Bibles instead of reading them.
Right. And yeah. Yeah, I think you could safely say that. So, I know they had their caucuses about a month ago on the Republican side, so I don't know why they don't do it all on the same night. I guess because of the lack of space. I'm not sure why. I would think in the end it would save both parties money to do it all on one night, you know, and kind of share the expense, but hey, since each party has its own agenda, I guess they can't even try compromising on something like that, you know, to share space. So.
Well, enjoy them, and I hope it goes well, and let us know what happens.
Oh, yeah, and I wanted to let you know, too, you mentioned it was 60 up there in West Virginia.
Yeah.
It's about 70 out here in the Springs today. So, and that's going to be followed up with 30 tomorrow. So, you know. kind of no climate change here in Colorado.
No, and you know, I always look forward to that time of the year when you can just hang the heavy coat in the closet and know you don't have to get it back out again. But when is that day? Because
Colorado Springs, maybe June.
Yeah, see,
and even then, with the way the weather's changing, you know, I've lived here in Colorado Springs 16 years now, and I haven't had, like you were saying, consistency where I knew that, you know, right around May 31st or something, you could put the coats away, that kind of thing. It has changed every year, and I've seen it last well into June where it's cold in the morning, and I've seen it get very warm very early like it is this year. So you can't base it on, well, this is a normal winter, because I think that's a thing of the past.
Normal is only a setting on a dryer, Kevin. Well, good luck, and I hope we'll hear back from you.
Yeah, I just wanted to check in, because tonight and tomorrow night are filled up with meetings, so I wanted to check in with you and tell everybody hello.
All right, will do. All right, take care.
Take care.
See you, Kevin.
Bye.
Bye now. And I have to tell you, probably the funniest tweet thus far on the whole Flimball affair just came across from Dave Zirin at Edge of Sports, and I know that we have a lot of Dave Zirin fans in the Horn family. He just tweeted a little bit ago, granted, I've been drinking cough syrup for hours, but I think I just read that Peyton Manning finally apologized to Sandra Fluke. Because, of course, the big story that just broke not too long ago is that Peyton Manning will be cut from the Indianapolis Colts, you know, the whole so long and thanks for all the fish routine. Here's the apple. Here's the roadmap. Good luck, son. And he's apparently going to play next season, but we just don't know for whom. I love that drink. Yeah, and that happens when you drink the cough syrup for hours. Peyton Manning finally apologized to Sandra Fluke. I saw that. I just giggled. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
You know, I've been trying to get you on White Rose, but I can't do it. I go to the whiterose.org, and it goes for Windows Media Player, 48 BPS, and it won't work. I don't know why.
Huh, weird. A lot of folks, you can try TuneIn.com, you can try iTunes Radio. There's a number of it, but WhiteRoseSociety.org, if you click on the Head On with Bob Kincaid link, they're all there. You may not be configured. You may be clicking one that you're not configured for.
Oh, that's probably the case, but nonetheless, if you don't mind, just leave me on hold, could you?
Oh, sure. Be happy to, Jim. All right.
I don't have anything to say other than, you know, what's been said already.
Okay, well, if something gets under your skin, just hang up and dial back in, okay?
Okay, fine.
All right, see you, Jim. We're a full-service radio network. Hey, welcome to the program. Well, with the new phone system, it used to be that I'd get a busy signal. Now I get just silence. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Hey, what's up, Cossack?
You, brother, you.
Would you happen to be on a speaker?
No.
Oh, okay. You just kind of sound a little bit far away.
I'm Bluetoothy, but not speaker.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, it's working.
Okay. You're not up. You're dead. You're dead, Fred. No one can get to you.
Yeah, well,
I'm listening to you, but I can't get through.
Yeah, and Fred apparently, I don't know that it was Fred. I tend to think these things are right wing driven, Cossack.
Well, yeah. I've been having problems establishing contact with left-wing sites today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Any particulars?
All the usual suspects. Counterpunch was having a problem loading. Whatchamajiggy. Balance Tyranny. They were all having problems today. Three attempts to get through.
Well, you know, they're probably the right wing are probably a little pissed off because they're the de facto titular leader of the Republican Party is being called out. For, well, you know, the emperor hath no clothing.
Well, I mean, Bob, how can you possibly say you did not intend this as a personal attack? What can be more personal than calling a person a slut?
Yeah, it doesn't get much more personal than that. And in point of fact, I just ran across something a little bit ago that makes me feel kind of, it's one of those horn ahead of the curve moments again. The Philadelphia Daily News interviewed a lawyer by the name of Max Kennerly from the Beasley firm, and he is arguing that Ms. Fluke should be able to successfully sue the bejesus. That's a complicated legal term, the bejesus. Sue the bejesus out of Rush Limbaugh because she is not a public figure within the meaning of New York Times versus Sullivan and Hustler versus Falwell.
Yeah, I was going to say, since when does testifying before Congress make you a public persona?
Well, it doesn't. That's the trick. Lawyer Kennerly said that Flimball's comments, the slut remark and the prostitute remark, embedded false statements of fact and were therefore defamatory, and a judge might allow a jury to decide the case. Because all of these things hinge on whether or not you can get the case to the jury. Kennerly noted his statements implied facts about somebody's sex life, that she was promiscuous and trading sex for money. Now, see, I don't know how it is in any particular jurisdiction or in the District of Columbia, Cossack, but way, way, way back when, the general teaching on libel and slander is that there's a particular corner of libel and slander, defamatory statements, that are called libel and slander per se. You know, and the two things that get you to libel and slander per se, and the lawyers in the audience can either write in or call up and let me know if I'm wrong, are allegations of criminal conduct or mental illness. Either one of those, you don't have to prove that you weren't, or you don't have to prove damages. You don't have to prove damages. You just have to prove that the slanderer or the libeler said those things and that you're not. And boom, the next thing you know, the jury's got a little pencil in its hand, and if you've argued it well, then they write down the number one, and then they start writing zeros till their little hands get tired.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what should happen to Flush Flimball.
Yeah. Well, it would be different if you said it once and let it lie. That could be, with a good lawyer, you'd countenance that as an excited outburst. But repeating it 3 days in a row, There is no excitedness. This is malice aforethought.
Well,
he was planning on defaming this woman.
Yeah, and even if you held her or held him to the held that she was a public citizen, still it's a jury question as to whether or not he engaged in actual malice. And that's why his non-apology said that he was trying to be absurd. You know, I've seen Waiting for Godot, Cossack. That's absurdism. A jiggling junkie screaming slut behind a microphone, that ain't it.
And you're right when you refer to his sweats and jiggles.
Well, credit David in Tennessee with that. Apparently he's jonesing hard. And see, that's
what it looks like.
I mean, see, that's the difference, for instance. You know, he is a public figure. And as such, I am free to engage in satire and suggest, for instance, that he is keeping his latest wife in a pit somewhere. It may turn out to be true. But he deliberately puts himself in the public eye, and therefore, you know, all's fair.
Correct. He holds himself out as a public persona. And that's what he lives on.
Right.
Good God. How is it that such a large swath of the country actually listens to this idiot?
It has to do with psychology, Cossack. It has to do with the fact that they are getting their preconceived racism, their preconceived bigotry, their preconceived misogyny all confirmed. You know, there was a study way back in the 90s. I think it was done by the Annenberg folks. And they took groups of people and they asked them, how well informed do you think you are on current events? And people, you know, it was like people who read the newspaper for their news, people who got their news from television. And then there was a separate group known as Limbaugh listeners. Talk radio listeners mainly, but Limbaugh listeners primarily because, you know, he dominated the market for so long.
Correct.
And the Limbaugh listeners, without fail, Cossack said, I am the best informed. I know exactly what's going on in America. Right? And then they gave them an objective test on current events. Guess who failed?
The Limbaugh listeners.
Of course. They were dumber than a bag full of hammers.
Yeah.
And so, but if you've already made your mind up, you understand. You know the problems we got in America is them damn liberals and them brown people and them Mexicans. If we could just do something about them, we'd have a pretty nice little country here. And you take that bunch and you just like something out of Hamlet, just pour poison in their ears for 3 hours a day. Well, they're going to come back because every time they turn you off, they're going to have to go out into reality world at some point in time, get confronted by their bigotries, and then they're going to have to come running back to get their bigotry prescription refilled, if you will. Now, it's become more complicated with the advent of Radio Rwanda because they can have it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which, of course, our good friend horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner identified in the Fox syndrome shared psychotic disorder. Watching Fox actually will make you mentally ill, whereas 3 hours of Flush Flimball a day will just make you stupid.
Yeah. Well, and watching phone news basically will make you dumber than you were before you started watching. You'll actually lose brain cells.
Yeah, and I mean, and consider, you know, consider this all within context, Cossack. You know, when old Don Imus takes to the airwaves to say that you're beyond the pale, you're toast. I mean, you're done. And
he's just jealous.
Yeah, my friends, that Don Imus, he is merely jealous. And it would be interesting to go back just for the fun of it. If somebody had the constitution for it, it would be fun to go back to. But of course, there aren't any archives of Rush Limbaugh for precisely these reasons. It would be fun to go back and find out what he was saying during the Imus affair with the, you know, the whole nappy-headed hose comment.
Yeah.
because either way, it would be telling.
Well, and if you think about it, Imus was bad, but again, he was attacking public figures of some note. You know, Limbaugh grabs this poor college co-ed, hauls her up into the light, and starts defaming her. You know, and continues to defame.
Well, and I can't even necessarily get on board with the idea that the Rutgers women's basketball team had put themselves in the public. They put themselves in the public eye as basketball players.
Correct.
But they certainly didn't. Their conduct didn't. No, I mean that was just pure, unmitigated, filthy racism.
Right. And he was quite obvious about that. That's what it was.
But now, you know, here we are. And again, Jesus, I can't even remember how long ago that it was that whole thing went down. But it's 2012. You know, once again, I find myself, wait a minute, you know, don't we get, I mean, can we not just band together and fight the Borg or something? There's so much stuff out there that's really stunningly meaningful. Every now and then, News Ninja Gene will send me one of those stories that just spins my head around.
Mm-hmm.
And like this one that I saw the other day, that it's now being reported by NASA that they have discovered oxygen around one of the little ice cubes that orbits Saturn. It's got oxygen. That means there might be life.
That means we have to go out and despoil it.
Well, that right. I mean, get busy. Is it? My God, there might be oil on there. Oh my God, there's big. Just build a big flexible pipeline, and you know, the free market will take care of the rest.
And that's the problem, Bob. That ecologically, we still haven't come to grips with the fact that all through the Cold War, we kept on selling our side, so-called, through the idea that, you know, every man a king. You know, join us and you can live just the same way we do. And now that you...
Don't forget the haul yourself up by your own bootstraps part.
Well, yeah, but, you know... That just makes a few people, you know, wealthy beyond the dreams of Croesus. But it doesn't seem to dawn upon these people that with India and China coming online, we'd need an additional four Earths to supply the natural materials that all these people would need to live on the same wasteful level as the U.S.
Oh, and by the way, breaking news. Breaking news. Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist. I said I don't care about this, and I don't, but it's funny anyway. It's good for a laugh. It has been projected to be the winner in Georgia. Now, that, of course, is his home state. But the other numbers are quite interesting, too, Cossack. 17% for Willard Romney, you know, dog on car. 20% for Frothy Rick, man on dog. And cranky old libertarian Ron Paul got 4%. That's kind of weird. That 4% for Ron Paul is kind of weird in a place like Georgia where they, you know, where they've got their very own nullificationist and free silver movements.
Right. Well, also, I believe that everything possible is being done. All the stops are being pulled to derail Ron Paul, regardless of how well he, or not he does.
You know, I mean, there's other stuff that's telling out there in Vermont. And granted, what are there, 14, 15 Republicans in Vermont? I'm not sure. Cranky old gynecologist Ron Paul, libertarian gynecologist, is projected the winner with 38% of the vote there. Romney came in third. the frothy one came in second. Virginia is being Vermont has changed, 33% for Romney. They're projecting 60% for Willard in Virginia to 40% for Ron Paul. They were the only two on the ballot. The Republicans really don't like Willard.
Yeah.
Let's see. Polls close at 7:30 p.m. in Ohio for the one race that really does matter.
Cafter?
I hope not.
I hope not either. I mean, she's good in some ways. Kucinich is good in so many more. It's not even a contest.
For me, the Keystone Pipeline would be a deal breaker there. I mean, I would be inclined, were I in that district, I would be inclined to vote for Dennis Kucinich anyway. But the Keystone XL Pipeline,
Well, and
you know, like, and she ran sleazy ads again. Can you imagine having the gall to suggest that Dennis Kucinich is anti-worker?
Why does that not surprise me that she would say something like that? I mean, it's just, it's past ridiculous, Bob. And it was done specifically with this idea in mind to angle Kucinich out of the Congress one way or the other.
Well, even under the worst of circumstances, I hope that doesn't last for long.
No, but again.
But you know, Dennis loves his Cleveland. I mean, he's a Cleveland kid.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the whole problem that she Cafter, that is a team player where it really counts, like the XL Pipeline.
Well, you know, yeah, she'll go along to get along.
Correct.
And it was just a dirty bit of redistricting. Hey, a great idea coming in from Kathy in Arizona. She said, we need to test the power of prayer. All conservatives should pray for their candidates this fall and not vote. Just pray. If at least 50% of the conservatives do not vote and their candidate wins anyway, we'll know that prayer works. Think we could get them to take us up on that?
No. Unfortunately, but no.
And just the mere mention of hydrocarbons on other planets, Ray just said, oh yeah, BP begins drilling in space. What could go wrong with that?
Exactly. I mean, they can't even do it on their native planet without causing disruption. What would they do to a virgin planet?
Yeah.
Well... what they do to every virgin they come across.
Yeah. Well, Cossack, you have yourself a good night, my friend. And you know, as was noted in the Green News report, BP has settled up with residents along the Gulf, so everything's just hunky dory now.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
We're waiting for that massive blob of crude to start creeping. It will. It's killing everything down there anyway, so that's really helpful.
Yeah, I know. All right. Take care, Cossack.
You too, Bob.
All right.
Love to the kit. Love to the Agnes.
Will do. Later now.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
The Cossack calling from North Florida. Hey, welcome to the program. Anybody there? Oh, I need a screener. I really, really do. Okay, let's have just a little bit of, well, not fun, but you know, we have remarked. I told you the story about. It was about this time last year when I toddled down to Tunica, Mississippi for a meeting. And it was at a casino there. Well, Tunica is nothing but casinos. And they had the Paul Erdeen American Grits Kittle Cafe and the Toby Keith I Love This Bar and Grill. You could sit there playing blackjack and just feel your arteries hardening at a distance. Well, this is this just broke today. You remember that our buddy Bourdain got in some hot water not too long back for tweeting something like heard about Paula Deen and her new she had announced that she had diabetes, and then she announced a new line of diabetic foodware, cooking stuff, ingredients, whatever. And Bourdain tweeted, "Think I'll break my leg and go into the crutch business," or something like that. Well, I haven't seen the tweet yet, but this is a dandy. She has... been served with a lawsuit that says that she and her brother Bubba Hires, no really, are responsible for some nasty sexual harassment, infliction of emotional distress, and assault. This coming from TMZ. They've got a restaurant in Savannah, Georgia, called Uncle Bubba's Seafood and Oyster House. Probably trying to capture some of the Bubba Gump trade. Lisa Jackson, not the EPA administrator, a different Lisa Jackson, is the former general manager there at Uncle Bubba's Seafood and Oyster House. And she claims that Paula Deen and Bubba Hires made a series of offensive, sexist, and racist comments over the course of the 5 years she worked there from 2005 to 2010. Allegedly, Bubba Hires would download and look at pornography at work, and he would kiss or spit at Jackson's face and ask her to... Sounds like Bubba needs to get together and have a high old time with Flush Flimball. Would ask her to bring photos of herself when she was young for him to look at. He'd then go on to, and come on, the guy's name's Bubba. This is Bubba Conduct. Make comments about other female employees' weight and personal sex life. One employee got dentures, and Bubba Hires said, "I bet your husband's gonna like that." Radar Online has all the suit papers. Back in 2007, Paula Deen answered a question by the plaintiff Jackson about what the attire would be for a catered event. Okay. send little Timmy and little Cindy and little Susie and little Bobby out of the room, okay? Because I'm going to read you what Ms. Dean allegedly said when asked what the proper attire for a catered event in 2007 would be. "Well, what I would really like is a bunch of little N-words to wear long-sleeve white shirts, black shorts, and black bow ties. You know, in the Shirley Temple days, they used to tap dance around. Now, that'd be a true Southern wedding, wouldn't it? But we can't do that because the media would be on me about that." Really? Ms. Dean, Mr. Limbaugh would like to speak with you. Lots of racist jokes told. Violence on the part of Bubba. Ms. Jackson said she quit because the working conditions became absolutely intolerable. The dean side says she was fired because she was a philanderer. And Paula Dean allegedly remarked, quote, "If you think I have worked this hard to lose everything because of a piece of, you better think again." That was the general manager she replaced with Lisa Jackson. Inescapable pornography was at the restaurant. That's got to be pretty pervasive. When he asked, allegedly, when he asked Lisa to bring pictures of herself to work, of herself when she was younger, Bubba told her, "You have nice legs." Told two larger women, "Fat girls shouldn't be wearing capri pants or skirts." Yuck. I mean, that's just gross. David in Tennessee, you're a cynical man. His name's Bubba, and his baby sister has enough money to bail his ass out of any damn thing? Just what could go wrong with that? You know what I'd like to do is I'd like to have a bunch of them and put them in white shirts and short pants and bow ties, you know, like back in the Shirley Temple days, and just have them dancing all around the wedding, tap dancing like they used to. But I couldn't get, I'd get in terrible trouble for that. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob?
Yes?
this is Carol in Las Vegas.
Well, hey, good to hear from you.
Hey, you know, I'm a little surprised I just picked up the phone and called and you answered right away. You kind of took me off guard here.
Well, I was going to get myself in terrible trouble with the Paula Dean story, so I figured I'd maybe get some help.
Well, you know, I listen to your program on podcast, so I haven't been listening today, and what I'm really sorry about that. What I really called about was, you know, when I'm listening to the program on podcast, I'm at work. You know, I work in a casino and I have breaks, and sometimes, and when I'm on breaks, I'm listening to the podcast, and people will come up to me and they'll say, "Well, what are you listening to?" And I'll go, "This is my last connection to sanity in this world."
Oh, bless your heart.
And, you know, in the past couple of weeks, you know, with all the Republican primaries and things like that, and a lot of people I hear on some of the programs I download are getting pretty sure that Obama is really going to walk away with this thing. And I don't know about anybody else, but everything I hear around me from people I work with, most of the people have no clue, and they're going to be voting Republican.
Well, I think that's a requirement for membership in the Republican Party, isn't it, Carol?
But, you know, when I, over time, when I tried to talk to people about political issues, which I really don't do anymore, because it's too frustrating and I get too angry, I'm amazed at how people cannot connect what's happened in their own lives. I know so many people that have lost their homes at my job. I know so many people whose spouses have lost their jobs and are not working. And they still blame Obama. And I'm not a person that can really defend Obama that well because I'm not very happy with him. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is I'm really insecure about what might happen in this election. I mean, in 2010, the Republicans made big gains. And nothing's really changed from then, do you think?
But we saw 2010 coming from a long way off, didn't we?
Well, I don't know. How do you mean?
Well, I mean, historically, sitting presidents don't do well in their first midterm.
Mm-hmm.
Two, we saw the rise of the teabaggers, and we saw the rise. You know, it was January of 2010 when we got Citizens United.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that there would be a new monetary experiment in government, and everything was looking pretty much like it was going to hit the fan come November, and the one thing that it's worth remembering is that the people we lost out of the House of Representatives were people who would have been had Republicans in those seats anyway, save for the fact that they were elected as so-called blue dogs and tended to vote like imitation Republicans anyway, which they were.
No, I totally agree with that. But when you're looking at this from a standpoint of, and when I listen to programs, especially in your program, because you get a lot of call-ins and a lot of people expressing their views who really are intelligent people, which is something, unfortunately, we don't hear a lot these days. But the people I hear don't make those connections, don't make the connections between, look at what's happened to my life in the last 10 years, and there's no one offering any change, really. And they're saying, everything I hear at work is, well, you know, the deficit and, you know, Obama's destroying the country. And I'm like, where do I even start?
Oh, see, I have no patience for the deficit argument whatsoever. Because 99% of the people who run around prattling about, if not 100%, prattling about the deficit are people who were just fine while George was running up the credit, running up an illegal war on a credit card, which is where the deficit came from. And in fact, his boss, Dick Cheney, said, well, Reagan proved that deficits don't matter anymore. Remember that? Because I do.
Oh, well, exactly. But you and I and the people who call this program are the people who understand that. What has me so frustrated in many ways is I still am getting a lot of reaction that doesn't make the connection. And what I have done is, I don't talk to people much anymore except just a few individuals because I can't deal with that anymore. And when I listen, I'm saying, gee, this is only going to get worse and not better. And I'm in a position where at 58 years old, I'm still working, even though my income is down almost 40%. I'm still able to make my house payment. And so I'm sort of in good shape. And when I look around and I see people who have children, I'm like, gosh, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with what we're looking at coming up?
Oh, and, I look at my teenage children who don't have to worry about a work life yet, and I am terrified for them. I don't know what their world will look like, because it's not the so-called normal world that I grew up in, where somebody had a job and they worked there for 50, 40, 30, whatever years. They got the gold watch, they had a decent retirement, a nice pension, and you know, mom and dad traveled the country and saw the sights. That day, that America is gone. Inexorably so. I don't think it's possible for it to come back, and for us to continue this fantasy game that says that it can is ultimately dangerous. It's certainly never going to come back under a budget by the likes of, you know, Paul Eddie Munster Ryan. He wants to make it worse. And these, you know, these nimnals like the Willard Romney and Rick Santorum, they you know, they just want to put the last nails in the coffin.
Well, I totally agree with you, and that's my frustration, and I don't really see how this, for instance, okay, we're coming up to an election. I'm a registered Democrat. I've always been a registered Democrat, and I've voted in every election I could vote in my whole life. And now I'm sitting here saying, well, and in fact, the one time I got through your program before, like I said to people, you know, here in Las Vegas, I swore I wouldn't vote for Harry Reid again, and I did, because the alternative was incredibly worse. You know, Sharon Angle was saying, oh, well, we just need to get rid of Social Security right now. And
like, yeah, and okay, take it, yeah, take a chicken Harry to a doctor, and yeah.
Exactly. So, but I really don't know what I'm going to do in this election. You know, when I hear all this craziness about Republican nominees, you know, it gets me worked up, and I say, well, I'm going to vote for Obama just to piss them off, if nothing else. You know what I'm saying? But I keep saying to myself, gee, is that really an intelligent thing to do? But I mean, I don't know what else to do.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, if Obama wins the presidential election, then a certain segment of the population will at least have the satisfaction of getting to gripe about Barack Obama for four more years, as opposed to the unmitigated hell on earth that will be unleashed by a Rick Santorum or even a Willard Romney. Yeah, Romney's playing this stealth game where he's what St. Paul described as all things to all people, but and maybe he thinks that he can be that so-called moderate Republican Massachusetts governor and do that in the White House. But he is sadly mistaken if he thinks that, because the teabaggers and the boners and the cantors will not let him do that. They won't. The teabaggers won't. The cokes won't. The entire infrastructure that is hell-bent on destroying this nation will not let him be that. And you know, I that other problem that I have is with those who say that, well, you know, America's sick, and before it can get well, it all just needs to crash and burn, and we need to start all over again. And while I can understand that from a theoretical standpoint, that same nasty thing that happens to me kicks in, and I start thinking about not what it is that gets burned to the ground, but who it is that gets burned to the ground. Because you know what? The 1% are never going to suffer. Even in 1929, that much-repeated myth of the traitors on ledges, you know, maybe two or three folks did that. But not a bunch of them. And they survived very nicely, thank you very much. The soup lines were not filled with people who got burned on margin calls on Wall Street. The soup lines were filled with people who got burned on believing in the American dream. Just like the poor and the middle class have been burned this time through. And so to say, yeah, you know, burn, well, you know, the shorthand is burn, baby, burn. If you take 15 seconds and think about it, and think about what you're wishing on people, it becomes intolerable.
No, I totally agree. And of course, you know, one of the other shows I listen to, Malloy, you know, he talks about that. And I agree with you. There's that part of me that says, yeah, maybe it has to be all torn down to where we can do anything again. But I agree with you that the people with all the money and the people with all the power are not going to suffer. But let me ask you this.
And they will gladly shoot us to keep from doing it.
Exactly. But let me ask you this.
Sure.
How optimistic are you, really, that if Obama is reelected, that there really is going to be any appreciable change in the next 4 years?
Next to not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because just using history as a yardstick, second terms are not impressive things, even in the memory of the likes of you and me. You remember when Dim Leader got reelected, sort of, Ohio notwithstanding, and said, yeah, I've earned me some political capital and I'm going to spend it, and what we're going to do is we're going to privatize Social Security. Yeah, not so much. Were it not for the fact that there was a compliant Congress, he should have been impeached. The second term of Bill Clinton was eaten alive by the Lewinsky scandal, brought to you to the tune of some $70 or $80 million worth of taxpayer money by the burn it to the ground attitude of the GOP. The Gipper's second term was nothing to write home about. And of course Nixon's second term ended in absolute humiliation and his resignation. So I think I've pretty much covered all the second terms within my actual memory. There's not just a heck of a lot that happens in second terms. And I'm sure that brighter people than me could offer answers for why that is. Some of it has to do with legacy building, and some of it has to do with the fact that because we term limited the president, the opposition party knows that it does not have to deal with that individual anymore. All second-term presidencies are lame duck from day one.
Well, that is history. But now what I'm getting from the crazies on the right who talk around me is that Obama is going to take away all our guns.
Absolutely.
He's going to... the minorities are going to take over the country.
Every woman gets a free abortion.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is, why wouldn't Obama just say, the hell with it? Why wouldn't he do, for instance, like what Carter did? Carter slapped a windfall profits tax on the oil companies. And a lot of people don't remember that.
And Carter didn't get a second term.
No, but he did the right thing.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, for as vilified as it is, the historical facts are that the Carter administration got a ton of work done in that one term. But the American people were not bright enough to notice it. And, of course, all the dirty tricks of the right wing and the negotiations that kept the hostages in captivity until Reagan was elected, and then he traded arms for the hostages, all of that. You know, there's a reason I think that Barack Obama keeps suggesting that he would prefer diplomacy with Iran, because that is just one of those things that I don't know, it's like playing with super glue. Once you get one little dot on you, sooner or later you're gonna be just glued all together and immobilized.
Well, you know, I tend to go back. I was thinking the other day, back when Bush stole the first election, and I was thinking what the country looked like back then. You know, gasoline was about $1.20 a gallon, I think, at that time. We had a balanced federal budget for about 3 years. The national debt was about $5.7 trillion and going down. We had no wars. And then Bush came in. And of course, we know the history after that.
Right, and you know, there are two seminal moments within my lifetime, one of which I was too young to appreciate the gravity of. That was the assassination of John Kennedy. That is a turning point in American history. It changed the fabric and the future trajectory of this nation in ways that we're still figuring out. The one that I am most conversant with and most cognizant of is the one that happened in November of 2000, when George Bush lost the election but won the presidency by virtue of legal wrangling and all the stuff that probably doesn't bear going into. That moment changes us, because everything you just described is true. And I remember when all the little right wingers, the Pat Buchanans and the George Wills and that bunch, snickered when Al Gore would say that he wanted to put, because we had a surplus, he wanted to put the surplus in a lockbox for Social Security. And, ha ha ha, a lockbox, ha, ain't that funny? And George Bush ran around saying, well, the economy's running too hot, so what we need is we need a tax cut to cool the economy down. And it was just insanity. It's just the stuff that the guy on acid in the park babbles to himself while he's, you know, building the fire in the hollowed out cypress tree.
But that moment
changed us forever, because I've been asked before, and I will say this again and again and again. I'll give the same answer every time. If Al Gore is the president of the United States, September 11th, 2001 doesn't happen. If Al Gore is the president of the United States, the Iraq War doesn't happen. If Al Gore is the president of the United States, Afghanistan doesn't happen. And all of those deficit grinding things don't grind. And we're sitting here in 2012 trying to figure out what the next cool thing we can do with all the money is.
Well, and I guess that's my point, is that I'm a person who, and I know that no one wants to discuss it, and I won't. I'm a person who absolutely believes that 9/11 was totally different in the way it was described. And I believe that the reason George Bush had to be in the White House was so that could happen. Now, I know there's a lot of people who disagree with me and all that, but the point is, the country prior to that and where we find ourselves now, in my opinion, is no accident. That's where certain powers wanted the country to go.
Oh, I don't think you have to have any wildly differing opinion about September 11, 2001 to reach that conclusion. You know, this is, it was all laid out in that now infamous passage from the manifesto of the Project for a New American Century, that little known excerpt from Paul Wolfowitz's speech on June the 11th or 9th or whatever, 2001, to the graduating class at West Point, where he said, "I can't tell you what's coming. All I can do is tell you to be prepared to be surprised." Huh? No. There were a group of people that were if it hadn't happened, something would have happened.
Well, and you know, getting back to this coming election, I guess what frustrates me more than anything else is I don't hear anybody on either side, and I never expect to hear anything from the right, obviously, but I never hear any solutions, real solutions. Let's raise taxes on the upper bracket. Let's raise taxes on the corporations. Let's go after the people who stole all the money. You know, I still remember them packing, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars of cash on cargo planes and sending it over to Iraq to where we never saw it again.
Yeah, I guess we've kind of forgotten the coalition provisional authority, haven't we?
What says that, when someone robs a bank, and they get caught, they go get the money back. And all I'm saying is, I want to hear solutions. I want to hear somebody stand up in our political system and say, look, I'm going to prosecute the people who lied to us. I'm going to prosecute the people on Wall Street. I'm going to prosecute the people who stole the money through the Defense Department. We're going to go after these people. And I'm not hearing any of that. And I guess that's my frustration, that coming up on this election, I'm still not hearing any solutions. And, you know, when I listen to programs like Malloy or yours and the people who call in, I do hear solutions. And I wonder, why don't our politicians don't offer any of these that just everyday people like me, you, and the people who call your program can come up with?
Well, and I don't necessarily know what the answer to that question is, except to say that, let me back up. My mind was, I'd never seen anything quite like it. My mind was blown the one time that I was in Las Vegas when I got to drive out into a neighborhood. And first of all, I'm not used to seeing yards that aren't yards. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But secondly, it had been a long time since, and these were nice neighborhoods, nice homes. And it looked like, I don't know, some sort of plague had swept through the neighborhood because all the houses were abandoned and empty. And that's when I understood the foreclosure crisis in a very visceral way. It was kind of theoretical for me before then. I think we know what the solutions are, but and this is not by way of making excuses, there are limitations on what a chief executive can do. Now, there was an announcement today that, for instance, with regard to some FHA loans, by executive order, the White House put some sort of process in motion whereby families can renegotiate and refinance and save about $1,000 to $2,000 a year. Now, that's something the president can do by himself that doesn't require Congress. But it's going to require Congress to do anything of an earth-shattering nature, I guess. And that is not going to happen. At least not for the foreseeable future. I don't know what kind of miracle would have to transpire in order for the Democrats to take the House. And the thing that bothers me the most is that in order to take the House, even if people were manifestly pissed off in the rest of normal America, down in Jesus land, they're real happy with their obstructionist, insurgent, reactionary Republicans because, you know, they're going to get rid of that one out of our White House.
Well, exactly.
Nobody,
well,
there aren't going to be any Democrats elected in Jesus land this November taking over Republicanly held incumbent seats.
Well, no, I do agree with you, and I know that by questioning, Obama a lot, I'm probably upsetting some people. But
you're getting more amens than you are upsetting. Trust me. And my only position with all of that is to simply ask that we acknowledge reality. And reality is that we continue to amuse ourselves with this fantasy of democracy. And it's not there. This is not a democracy. This is
not anymore.
Well, this is at best, this is at best a republic based on democratic principles, and that is largely gone away. The Congress has ceded its authority. I mean, for God's sakes, going all the way back to Korea, the Congress gave away its authority to make war.
Absolutely.
And it has largely ceded its authority in any number of areas that I'm not going into right now. And all it wants to do at this point in time is be a thorn in the side of that one. And that is an indication of not a failing, but a failed governmental structure. And ultimately, Democrat or Republican, it is going to continue to fail as long as Citizens United, for instance, is the law of the land. And even if Citizens United is struck down, you've still got the terrible problems because we haven't figured out a way how to keep the members of Congress from taking legalized bribes. And it is the money in our electoral and political system that is the pernicious toxin that has run all over our body politic. It's systemic at this point. We're in multi-system organ failure.
Well, I obviously totally agree with what you're saying. I mean, it's something we've witnessed in the last 12 years or so completely. And I guess that's, you know, what I'm saying about my frustration. I'm sure that come November, I'm going to walk into the voting booth and vote pretty much a straight Democratic ticket. You know, there are times when I've thought, well, you know, maybe I'll vote for the Green candidate or I'll vote for the Socialist candidate or whatever. But obviously I know what that'd do. But I guess I just wanted to call today and just try to express my frustration with everything going on and how...
Well, I'm glad you did, and I understand it, because God knows there's a ton of frustration all over the Horn family. And it's got to be especially bad where you are, because I had the opportunity to hear some of it, see some of it. And it's for anybody with their eyes open, it's especially galling when you hear people who are talking about policies that run directly contrary to their own best interest. And of course, that's the problem that arises out of the famous book, What's the Matter with Kansas? Why do working class so-called Republicans persist in voting against their own economic interest? And the answer is religion, and the answer is bigotry, and the answer is racism. And, you know, you said something a little bit ago about the Republicans say that, you know, the white folks are going to become a minority. Well, that's a fact. I mean, I guess if the Republicans are saying that, they're at least acknowledging reality, and I think that's the one reality that scares them more than anything else. So they may as well go ahead and burn down the entire social safety net before those people get it.
Well, and, you know, I mean, what you just said, plus 30 years of brainwashing from TV and radio and everything like that, is, in my opinion, the best answer for why people just don't seem to know any facts. They don't read. They don't do anything. It's just a total brainwash.
And they have no larger picture. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you know, to say, you know, this is going to become a minority majority nation. Well, yes, it is. In other words, the continent is going to go back to looking a whole lot more like what it looked like before the Europeans got here. You know, it's like these English firsters, you know, a bunch of damn dummies, as if the Apache spoke Chaucer's English and walked around talking about that Aprilia with the Sure Zuta and the Druth of March. You know, horse feathers. The first European language spoken on this hemisphere was Spanish.
Well, no, that's very true.
Followed by Portuguese, followed by French, and English doesn't show up until, you know, 1607. That's a century.
Well, we gotta have English first.
You know, caramba.
Well, before I go, I did want to thank all of the people who called in on this program and at least had the guts to at least express some opinions of the passing of Andrew Breitbart, seeing that on almost every other program or every other outlet, nobody wanted to say anything about this guy. So it was heartwarming to me to hear some other people voicing some of the things I was saying to a couple of people after that happened.
Well, I got in late Thursday, and by Friday there were so many things blowing up that it didn't seem like it was worth, you know, I just wanted to play Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, and move on. And again, it's a function of my upbringing, that, you know, the little things that stick in your mind, that scene from Bambi.
Mm-hmm.
you know, where Thumper and Flower are in trouble. Thumper, what have I told you? If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. But Lord, well, but you know what? I think Thumper would have said, fine, throw his body in a toxic waste barrel and drop it in the Marianas Trench.
Well, and if he died of natural causes, then I'm Bozo the Clown's third cousin.
Yeah, you know, cocaine's a natural substance.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let somebody else get in, but thanks for taking my call. And
anytime, and, you know, just, it's another one of those things I get to think of. A guy somewhere in a casino in Las Vegas with a little smile on his face and a pair of headphones in his ears and thinking, what are you listening to? I appreciate that like you can't know.
And that happens 5 days a week.
Thanks, man. All I appreciate
right.
it. Bye now. Carol calling from Las Vegas. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Andy Randy from Pennsylvania.
Well, how are you, Randy?
Not bad. I was thinking of a few solutions to the general problem of what do liberals do, and I can't seem to get on the Malloy program to spout this, but I'm a member of Common Cause, and I'm a member of Public Citizen, and I'm a member of Amnesty International, and it doesn't cost all that much a year, besides supporting the other media liberal outlets, but that's a partial solution because they go to bat for liberal causes.
They absolutely do. They absolutely do. And I had some nice conversations with Common Cause folks last time I was in D.C.
And that's something simple that liberals can do to, besides supporting like the Horn and the Malloy Show and others. And at any rate, I couldn't get on the Malloy Show to say that, but at least I can get on here to say that.
And I'm glad you did. And you know, never discount the other thing, Randy. And it's been a topic of conversation on a number of evenings. And that is this: being fearless about your own life in your own world. You know, if you heard the previous conversation, you know that there are at least attempts made to talk with these folks who, as the song says, believe there's a race of men in the trees. And they're for tough mm-hmm. legislation. The image that I always use is talking in line at the grocery store, talking in line at the post office, a casual remark offered when you're paying for your gas at the Rippy Mart.
Yeah.
If you do, the number of people who don't do that on our side is stunning. On the other hand, as I've noted before, if I leave here as soon as the show is over and I drive downtown, I can guarantee you that if I stand around for 30 minutes down at the little gas station, it will be no more than 30 minutes before I hear a Barack Obama N-word joke. Because they're not afraid to. They put their bigotry, their racism, their hatred, their prejudices out there on proud, not just on display, but Randy, proudly on display.
Whatever happened to compassionate conservatism?
Well, it was a fantasy. It was a fantasy in the first place. But beyond that, it went out of fashion with shock and awe, I think.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there as something that people could do because we generally don't encounter the courts too much, but. Those people, those organizations I mentioned, really do. Unfortunately, they sort of stack the courts with Republican judges, so they don't approve too many Democratic judges.
Right. I think it was this week that all of two, Randy, of President Obama's judicial nominees came up for confirmation out of a batch of nominees, all of whom have almost unanimous support in the Senate. But because of the arcane, Byzantine, and dysfunctional rules of that body, have been stopped by one or two Republicans. And bear in mind, this is a judicial system that cannot take too much more of that kind of stress. Nearly one in ten federal judgeships in this country are vacant, and the other people who are trying to pick up the slack are in a bad way. And remember, the ones, some of the ones that are picking up the slack are like that goober in Montana who sent around a joke alleging that Barack Obama's mother had sex with dogs.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, there's real, as the saying goes, there's trouble in River City.
Yeah. Well, I'll let other people get on the line because that's my short comment about what liberals can do.
All right. Know. All right. Well, thank you very kindly, Randy. I do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye now. And we all do appreciate it. It's the nature of conversation radio. Joe Ray, our buddy the Foxhole Atheist, just wrote in a little bit ago, and he said, I found your show on a Droid app, TuneIn Radio. Don't know if you and other listeners were aware of this, so I'm sharing my find. Good to hear you're still out there on the Internet. Off to class. Keep up the fight. Well, you're keeping up the fight by going to class, Joe. Because we need more smart people. All the smart people we can get. Because, you know, it generally takes about 100 smart people to undo the mischief of one right-wing, mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, strychnine-swigging, floor-rolling, serpent-handling idiot. Jim noting by email, bigotry viewed as a positive good, not a necessary evil. And that's what we're dealing with these people who are out of the closet. You know what? He's gonna wait till he's a crafty one, that Kenyan devil. He's gonna wait till his second term, and then he's gonna get all of our guns, our little blue steel penis extensions. What kind of numbnuts do you have to be to actually believe that crap? Sandra with an email. She sends along comments from Mark Stein, who is a pig from Canada. She said, here's the perfect paragraph explaining what's really going on with the right and women. And, of course, doesn't Mark Stein fill in for the oxymoron from time to time? Isn't he one of those? Who needs families or marriage or morality? Who needs nations, especially nations with borders? We'll take a jackhammer to the foundations of functioning society and proclaim paradise in the ruins. Moderate Republicans such as Arnold Schwarzenegger like to boast that they're fiscal conservatives and social liberals, but the social liberalism always ends up burying the fiscal conservatism. As Congressman Mike Pence put it, to those who say we should simply focus on fiscal issues, I say you would not be able to print enough money in 1,000 years to pay for the government you would need if the traditional family collapses. But the collapse of the traditional family is already well advanced. And as part of a conscious big government strategy, Big Daddy sings a siren song. A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but statism is a girl's best friend.
What, Ada?
So it is in government's interest to diminish those men old-fashioned enough to marry women and thereby woo them away from the big stash of Big Daddy statist. Big government's bias against marriage and family isn't an unforeseen quirk of the tax code. It's in logical, strategic support of its mission to expand government and diminish everything else. These dumb bastards' the prejudiced view of the world is completely at odds with reality. To read that, this babbling goober you would think that there were some sort of free money machines on every corner where indolent poor are just sticking their hands out and catching some and going and buying the big screen TV and the Cadillac and some crack and some meth. God almighty! You know, this is one of those the stupid it hurts moments. Statism is a girl's best friend? That's it. The women are going to ruin our perfectly good country. See what happens when you let them out of the kitchen, when you don't keep them barefoot and pregnant? See what happens when you give them the vote? It's all been downhill since we let them vote. God, it makes your head hurt, doesn't it? Oh, I had to mute the microphone a little bit ago to giggle because Sandra wrote in and said, with regard to Paula Deen, maybe the diabetes will cause her to get a head amputation. Yeah, it was rotten. Had to come right off. Had to amputate her feet from the scalp down. Bubba, what are you saying to our general man? Bubba! David in Tennessee confirming, yes, Mark Stein fills in for Flush when he's dope sick, or due for a vacation, that is. Kind of, do you ever read the classic, I think it's even available for free for e-readers now, William S. Burroughs' Naked Lunch? Lots of hallucinatory passages in there, and there's a few of them that just kind of make you think that Rush is just living them. If you ever wondered, the name of the band Steely Dan comes from Naked Lunch. Don't ask. Back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, you think your head's spinning already. Did you hear what Pat Robertson said?
Oh, with the tornadoes?
No, not the tornadoes. This is, no, you never, if you haven't heard, you're never going to guess.
Gay hurricanes?
No.
Lesbian earthquakes?
No, he wants to legalize marijuana.
So what?
Yeah. And he blames the harsh sentencing guidelines and everything else on liberals. And I couldn't tell if it was liberals not praying or just liberals just because liberals are evil.
Well, everything bad we do, even though the sentencing guidelines were passed by, well, but, you know.
No details. We don't need facts here now, bud.
Right.
No, this is Pat Robertson land. But it amazes me that a guy like that says something like that. It's over. I mean, that has to be over, isn't it? I mean,
well, I'm convinced that he's been smart. He must have cornered the paraquat dope market after the big spray over back in the late 70s, and he's just been smoking it ever since. I mean, well, Albert, it makes perfect sense now.
It does. That's what he puts in his shakes.
Yeah, just honking on the paraquat and having a high time.
Mm-hmm. What a filth. What else we got going on? You got the Q-tip, Leroy Gingrich. You got him winning his big old state. And you got, that's about it, no? Because everything else is pretty much what we thought. It's pretty much what we thought it was going to be. It's Romney. And my goodness. And why is Saturday Night Live funny all of a sudden? What is that? I had to watch an episode of it with the wife last night, and we were laughing. It was strange. I haven't laughed like that at Saturday Night Live, and so I don't even remember. They're funny now, those guys. If you haven't watched it because they were so dull for a while there, pick it up, boy. That is funny stuff. There, a couple of those guys are just great. And they have, what's his name? Fred Armisen.
Oh, he's a genius.
Yeah, and they have him working again, and that other guy who plays Shepard Smith. No, Mother, you know, I like weird. It's great. If you haven't seen it, you know, and then that's the beauty of the internet is that stuff's all streaming online, so, you know, you get to watch that.
Oh, hey, breaking news. The frothy one is apparently going to take Oklahoma and Tennessee.
You mean Rooster?
Yeah, the guy with the lizard, the purple lizard kid.
Oh, geez. What a freak. He ain't going to win anything. I mean, it would be an entertaining election, but, and it, or, you know, shouldn't say election, entertaining,
pageant.
Yeah, pageant. And speaking of that, you know, I actually got my first glimpse of that terrible, 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 hideous, terrible show. The Tierras and Toddlers or whatever. God, I saw that one, that lady from Georgia.
Yeah, as a father of daughters, didn't you just want to run screaming from the room?
Oh, it hurts your blood. It literally, you can feel it coagulating in your veins. It's just painful. You know, who is this person? Oh, yeah. That child needs Red Bull and Mountain Dew mixed together. That's her magic juice. And that's the kind of people that you're like, woman, sit down. I'm sorry, sit down. This is
Red Bull doing. And Mountain Dew?
Yeah, that's the magic Dew juice for the go-go juice for the kids there. That pixie stick, you know, they get them all amped up on sugar, and they think, and then they act as obnoxious as they possibly can, and that's beauty pageantry.
Well, at this point in time, what Kim suggested earlier is sounding better. Maybe Tim Tebow on The Bachelor will be a step up.
Yeah, TV is some there's some depravity out there. You know, I would never watch a show like that, but, you know, I've seen a few of the other train wreck shows that there are, and they're really just at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, I can't watch a show like Hoarders. It's just sad. It's sad. I mean, I could watch a documentary on it, but a week after week after week after week show.
Yeah, where nothing gets any better.
Yeah, and then they're like, and I mean, maybe they do need to be coddling these people. Maybe that is true. But, you know, there also has to come to a point where they have to accept that something is garbage and it's never going to be used. And, you know, I don't know. I can't watch a show like that. I just can't. It's just too sad. It's too dark. And it really is the byproduct of our commercial buy civilization. You know, I mean, those kinds of people won't be as sick as they are once we start to reevaluate our priorities in terms of what, you know, we have in life, you know.
But it's all, but Albert, it's all catharsis. It's all, you know, if you're, you know, there's a channel for every psychographic in the country now. And you know, there was a certain element of truth in what Flimball said about, you know, he said, I'm selling them access to you. In other words, with you know, having spent a week using all that pimp and slut language, what he was saying is that he was pimping his audience to his advertisers. And it's the truth. And you know, viewers aren't viewers. They are Johns, okay? And if you're watching Hoarders, you're being pimped to people that want to advertise there because they think that they can get to you there. But they're somewhere else too. You know, they're on the History Channel, they're on A&E, they're on Discovery, they're on the Nick at Night, they're on Adult Swim.
Yeah, kill your television. I mean the internet has everything there anyway, and I really don't see why you need it. I don't see why you need, you know, and there are channels that I would like to watch just for, you know, this or that. And, you know, there are channels that are useful. And not every single channel, but, you know, there's more channels than there are pharmaceutical drugs. So, you know, and how do you win? You know, if I want a specific channel that has this, I have to pay, you know, $300 a month just to have the freaking channels. And then, of course, I get all these channels I don't want. And that's just a, you know, that to me, that's just a failed model. It can't keep going, especially, you know, next to the Internet, who's still just, you know, the Internet's still a toddler. You know, the Internet is, you know, barely getting its first teeth. If you really look at it in terms of what it's going to be 10 years, 20 years from now. I mean, so, you know, Netflix is kind of paving the way on that respect. And you want to see a real, this one's a real gut churner. They have another documentary out there, and they really have been, yeah, it's not the best of the best, but it's decent enough, I guess, in terms of their selection of documentaries. And they do update them, you know, enough. And as we said, you know, I wrote to you that, you know, Last Mountain is on there. And, you know, it just giving people access to that kind of information that you never, ever, ever would have had. I mean, unless you lived in San Francisco and you went to the underground, you know, you know, movie plays that sold all the kind of documentaries that you would want. You know, we never had access to this kind of information before. But there's that, it's called Clear Cut. It's about what this logging company industry and their little battle with the political correct liberals in the school system. And I still can't really wrap my head around this guy's positioning and why he thought he could take, you know, I don't want to ruin it for you, but it is one of those just...
Oh, I mean, Jim just wrote in and says, try Tuesday with Doomsday Preppers.
Oh, yeah. I did see one of those. It was on the, they put, you know, because of course it's on the internet, you know, so I did check one of those.
Yeah, I have my own problems, you know, but, you know, David in Tennessee saying, listen, I need my White Sox on WGN and I need my Packers on Sunday. My cable costs me $20 a month. And, you know, it's March, and pretty soon college hoops is going to get interesting, and then it'll be baseball. So, yeah, you're right, though. I mean, if there was some way to just buy the channels you want,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is how the free market would handle it.
Yeah, but that's why, you know they don't buy into any of that free market crap. You know, they want a monopoly, and that's why the cable companies themselves lobbied for laws against, to make it illegal for the a la carte, you know, system. You know, because then it would, you know, I don't know, they had all these, you know, think of the poor channels that nobody gets to even be exposed to, da 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 da, you know. I don't know, I mean, if you wanted to do something like that, you could, you know, have an a la carte package, buy, you know, you have to buy a few of them, you can't just buy two, you know, you have to buy six, and that'd be fine, and then they give you another 10 that would rotate. So you can be exposed, that way you can be exposed to things that you may not normally see. I mean, that would be more conducive to me, wanting to have cable, but the way it is now, there's nothing on there I need to see, and anything I want to see, I can go online 10 seconds and find it and get it and watch it. You know, and most of the time the commercials are cut out of it, which is really one of the worst things about television to me. And if you want real information, you don't go to the TV for real information. You know, I mean, come on, you know, you need the stuff on demand. I'd have Current. I'd have that. Those Vanguard shows are pretty extraordinary when you really look at, you know, how much, you know, where they're going and what they're doing, and, you know, and some of the moments they're capturing on film, it really is incredible, and it brightens my heart a little bit. It makes me happy to see things like that happening. I mean, speaking of TV and things I don't pay, whatever, on the internet, I happened to see Real Time with Bill Maher, and, you know, they had Bob Lutz on there. Bob Lutz, the GM, executive dude, you know, who says global warming is a crock of shit and all this other nonsense. They also had Neil deGrasse Tyson on there, and I know a lot of people like him. He's a little too mainstream, kind of, you know, current paradigm for me, and he doesn't tend to look at a lot of data, but it's whatever. I understand who he is, where his role is, what have you. However, when he is on there and he's trying to explain science, and some, you know, some howdy-doody guy comes up, name's Bob Lutz, and, you know, this guy wants to sit here and try to, you know, take a squat on global warming. You know, I think, you know, a guy like Tyson should, you know, make a bet that isn't within 50 years, because, you know, both of them are going to be dead in 50 years, and they're making a bet, oh, I want to bet it after we're dead, it's dead, it's going to be screwy. That was a little, you know, that was a little cowardly to me, and, you know, but that's my main beef with that guy anyway, is he's kind of cowardly, so.
No, but it's so patently uncomfortable to deal with those situations, though, Albert, because whether it's you or Neil deGrasse Tyson or anybody with even a half a working functional idea of what climate change and the global climate catastrophe impending means, and you sit there and you pace, and you even, you know, you even use little words, not more than two or three syllables, not a lot of diphthongs, you know, that kind of stuff, and you explain it, and the idiot on the other side says, door bleep? I mean, you hurt yourself,
yeah.
or you want to. I mean, you want to go kick furniture with bare feet.
Yeah, but you're on HBO. You know, you can stand up and just say, "Listen, bud, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, so you need to sit there, shut up, pay attention, and just relax."
Well, did you see Albert, the whole the kerfuffle that arose over the business where The climate scientist admitted that he had used some phony, well, he'd used some trickery to actually expose the Heartland Institute.
Okay.
And what's his name? Andrew Revkin at the New York Times said, well, he has ruined his career. His career is in tatters. It's over. He has destroyed his credibility. We don't say that when the cops sit in a room with a computer monitor and a 35-year-old guy pretends to be a 10-year-old little girl to catch the pervs. We don't talk about the cops destroying their credibility. No, they caught a predator that way. And the Heartland Institute was and is a damn predator. And they are, and to the extent that sexual, the pedophiles prey on children's bodies, the Heartland Institute wanted to prey on their minds. And yet, you know, one of these 1% for-profit media types like Andrew Revkin said, well, you know, that was hardly fair to do to the Heartland Foundation. It certainly isn't the kind of discourse that we would... Oh, get the maiden forms out of the crack of your butt, Andrew. They caught a perv. Because, you know, it is possible to be an intellectual perv as well as a sexual one.
Yeah, well, look at Rush Limbaugh, you know. Come on now, that's all he is. That's all that guy is, you know. And, of course, projection. It's just projection. You know, everything out of their mouth is projection, and it never stops, and it only gets more clear and more obvious as the days tick by, you know. I mean, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. That's how I feel about it. I just can't see... You know, I see no progress on their side. I see nothing but regression day after day after day, and their depravity just continues to just run amok. It's like a fire. It's like a fire, and they just keep getting dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber. They don't even understand that, you know, when they said, oh, drug users should be executed, now they're saying that marijuana should be legal. How do you go from that? How do you go, oh, I know how you go. I don't know. I can't. There's nothing I can do to wrap my head around it. It's that dumb. Hey.
But you know, there is that world that you are so well versed and so eloquent in talking about, so badly want to see, Albert. And it's a world with bullet trains and maglev trains and solar panels on rooftops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're the
and you know the these idiots. And, you know, what are they but idiots?
Mm-hmm.
Please. No, let's see. Oh, no, I've got an idiot moment for you. Courtesy of doggone car Willard Romney.
That's a good... Did you see that magazine cover?
Yes.
That's a good one.
No, Willard was running his mouth yesterday in Youngstown, Ohio. And he said that President Obama lives in an imaginary world where clean energy powers the economy. You know, meanwhile, doggone car Romney lives in an imaginary world where we're going to have abiotic oil forever.
Yeah, forever.
And that's why we're cooking goop in Canada on the lands of the Cree and trying to ship it down through the lands of the Lakota to you know, poison the entire aquifer for the middle of the country, but who's counting? But no, that wasn't just the fun part, the imaginary world part. I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who...
No,
he went on... You remember when Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, said, well, the problem is you can't put a gun rack in an electric car. Well, apparently that's playing with the right-wing focus groups or something, Albert, because Willard has nuanced it. The problem is, he said, you can't drive a car with a windmill on it.
It's like
it hurts. It hurts. I'm sorry to do it to you, but I know it hurts. But it,
20, yeah, it's like the sizzler of stupid. And they just keep going up there and filling that place.
plates of that crappy pudding and the kiwi slices and the steaks and the broccoli and the ranch dressing, and they just keep putting the sesame seeds on. They're just stupid. It's just everything is listed. It's like a bad dream. Like,
I mean, you can come back. You know, you don't have to put it all on one. You can't put a windmill on a car.
Oh, you can't. Yeah, I know.
No, but you can put one, and then it turns into a helicopter. Or, you know, you can put sails on a ship, and they...
And then what if you let them know, hey, do you realize that we can power an electric car wirelessly? Their heads would explode.
Oh, yeah, and I understand that Willard can't put a windmill on a car because his dog's in the way. Jesus criminy.
Did you hear the real good news, though, Brother Bob? I wanted to call you about this yesterday.
I'm almost afraid.
No, this is real good news. I think it's 13% since 2011, we have shut down 13% of our overall power generating capacity of terms of coal power plants. I know I'm not regurgitating this correctly, but essentially we've closed down 189 or 209 or something.
No, yeah, absolutely. There's magnificent progress being made along those lines.
Yeah, it's like 13% of our capacity to generate, we've shut down in terms of, some really old power plants that they grandfathered in. You know, and these are things that, you know, 2-3 years ago, man, we were just, you know, up to our neck in smog and fear and, you know, sulfur and everything.
Oh, and we still are here in the...
True.
Here in almost level, because the Appalachian Power is going to retire two of its really old, nasty coal-fired power plants.
Mm-hmm.
And so necessarily the scream has gone up among the idiocracy. We're going to freeze to death in the dark. Damn tree huggers.
Oh, God. You know, I don't understand. You know, these people just, they have no vision. They don't understand that there are, I mean, they'll go and buy an iPhone. You know, they'll go and buy that. But they don't comprehend that with the iPhone is just the tip of the spear in terms of technology. And we all seen that new iPad 3, right? You've seen it, did you? And I know it's not real, but did you see that little demo of what they say it can do?
No.
I mean, come on, man. They can put them together, and they generate the same image. There's like little magnets in them, and they can stick them together, and then it becomes a real big screen, and it's just crazy what we're doing and what we're having, and it's just they're getting smaller and thinner. And then you sent me that article. I wish I would have read it earlier, but you know, that's exactly right. Photon computers, that's what it's going to be. We're going to be sitting there, you know, using light, because we're really reaching the end of what we can do with silicone right now, you know, in terms of these processors. And you know, we all know, you know, Intel, they have $1,000 chip. But it's too fast. There's none you could use. Nothing stresses it. Nothing even stresses the AMD stuff, really. You know, unless you're looking at two cores, you know, and even there, you know, you're still probably good. You know, two cores is enough to do all kinds of stuff. We have four cores, six cores, eight cores, and now Intel's coming up with their things. And, you know, we're going to get down to, what are they going to get down to, 25 nanometers? And then when you're down at 25 nanometers, now you're at the level of the atom. And so how are you going to make, you know, half atomic?
Well, see, I mean, that's, you know, that's like the conversation I had with Ferg the other night. I said, he said, and it was one of those, well, when I have kids, I'll let them, you know, fill in the blank. I said, boy, when you have kids, these are not going to be the problems you have. It's going to be when the little 16-year-old says, come on, Dad, why can't I get a USB 12.0 plug in my neck?
It's going to be outdated in 3 months. You're going to need the 16.4.
Yeah, they're coming out. The 16's coming out in 6 months.
God, just wait for the wireless. It's there. It's coming. You know, settle down, Ferg. You're right. You know, and it's amazing. I my little girls. And you know what's really funny, too, Brother Bob? You know where I live. I live in a hunting area. I live in a very, you know, pretty rural area. You know, my accent doesn't depict, at least, you know, what I hear in my head doesn't depict the region I live in.
No, but God, it's a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place, and it's a beautiful place. Hope to see you soon. And you know, especially during those earlier months. It's, you know, this is a pretty spring. We have a real pretty spring, nice, lovely summer, and a really gorgeous fall. And I'm sure you're familiar with that. You know,
and this year, no winter.
This year, you know, it's hanging on. It's a tenacious, you know. I don't want to, you know, it's a tenacious bastard, this thing, Winter. It just doesn't stop, and it's aggravating me. But anyway, the,
Well, yeah, 70 today, 30 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's, like, I can't even get ready for anything. It drives me nuts. But, you know, I look at my girls, you know, they're 8 years old now, and I know that's like, oh my God, you know, some of the people are 8 years old. Holy, where's the time gone? But, what I see them handle technology, you know, and I'm not a Luddite or anything, so I know my way around technology, but I can see it already. There's like a genius there, that they just have a natural inclination that they know how to make these things work.
They're not afraid of them.
They're not afraid of them. They get them to work, and it's like, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, we'd have those tape cassette, you know, one speaker boombox thingies.
No, dude, I had the I had the really high end Sears 8-track deck with speakers that would separate.
Nice.
And ran on like 9 D cells. I think it weighed 70 pounds.
No doubt, and if you're playing it too loud, you know.
No, there are still songs. I think one of them is the Eagles' "Witchy Woman."
Mm-hmm.
That if I hear it on the radio, my brain still inserts the place where the 8-track faded it down and went, and then faded it back up. I hear that even if it's not in the music. Yeah, that's our geezer moment for the evening.
But how about when your parents or somebody is too damn loud and they go to shut it off? And they just hit every single button except stop.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? My kids, nothing like that. I take them near an iPad, forget it. And I show them, all right, this is what you do, girls. You just this. They're on their way. They're gone. And honestly, you know, a lot of people get nervous, and I really do think the youth is going to save us. I think the youth that we have here today is really, I mean, yeah, we have, of course, there's bad apples everywhere, but we have a youth that cares about the environment, cares about energy. I can talk to any...
And that's another one, you know, Carol was talking a few minutes ago about the fears of the right wing, Albert, and that's another one of their fears. They know they're dinosaurs in a cooling world. I mean, I realize that image is sort of ass backwards, But the right wing knows that. They know they're living in a country where they're not going to have a majority, so therefore that's why they've got to tear everything down. And they know that the church people know that they're losing kids hand over fist because kids aren't going to, you know, it's been two generations now since Brown versus Board of Education, and that crap ain't, you know, that separate but equal stuff ain't flying anymore.
Separate but equal. And you know, here's the other thing. Brother Bob, what the hell kind of turnout is this? You look at these voting numbers. What the hell is this?
Well, you know, I heard some woman talking on the NPR this morning as I was driving down to Charleston, and she said, well, you know, I'm not particularly impressed with any of the candidates, really, but I guess I'm going to vote for Romney because he's viable. So, in other words, Romney is a baby that has gone to full term, whereas Rick Santorum is a purple lizard.
Rick is, you know, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, that's
and Ron Paul's a freaking blastocyst, okay?
Yeah. And, you know, still, to this moment, Ron Paul still, out of all of them, makes the most sense. He really does. He makes the most sense out of all of them on a couple of issues. And that's all he needs. I mean, it's not like, you know, it takes, you know, you've got to be a rocket appliance manufacturer to get beyond these people, you know, because they're just so ridiculous. But isn't that saying something? When some guy like him routinely is more sane and level-headed and coherent than the rest of them, where the rest of them are sitting there trying to outlaw contraceptives, just trying to sit there to do everything else, like, even he is like, come on, people, what are you talking about? Outlaw contraceptives, I mean, even, you know what I mean? That's what I mean.
Well, I saw one of those bumper stickers today, and no, this is not the part of Boys of Summer where I saw a Deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. No, I just saw a pickup truck today coming home, and it was the verb tense that grabbed me. It said Ron Paul was right. As if I don't know that it, you know, he's 30 feet ahead of me in traffic, but somehow he's out there the 10 year, you know, he's driving in 2022 or something. Was right. Oh, by the way, an update coming in from Sandra, Albert. She said that Callista is presently speaking, and Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, is getting ready to declare victory in his campaign for president of Georgia. And you know, yeah. David in Tennessee pointing out, he says, you know, where kids are concerned, it's not necessarily genius. Computers for kids are like pencils were for us.
True.
Or the telephone. I mean, I can remember, bless her heart, my grandmother who was born in 1894, you know, to the day she died. Well, okay, she lost her mind about 10 years before she died, but, you know, for as long as she had a functioning mind, she was very particular about how she used the phone. You know, she would pick it up very carefully, she would listen for a minute to make sure that the dial tone was there, and then she would begin very meticulously dialing. Not because she was a dumb woman, but because she was daunted by the technology. Now, on the other hand, my parents were a little less so, and by the time I got to be 14 years or so old, I was looking at my parents going, damn, can't we please get a push-button phone? I don't have a prayer with any of these radio station contests. Nobody on a rotary dialer ever wins the tickets to the Kiss show.
Unless they want like the 97th caller or something,
yeah. Yeah, but I mean, no, you got, and you know, and that was back when the phone company would charge you extra to have a push button phone in your home. Listen, people who are under 30 years old, that really used to happen. The phone company would charge you extra to have a push button phone.
That's crazy.
And now, you know, you take a rotary dialer and hand it to a 12-year-old. What is this, Dad? Well, we used to call it a phone. Yeah, when the dinosaurs were...
Yeah, for real. That grasp of technology, you know, I mean, I think it's self-evident. I think what I say about, you know, where we need to go with, you know, like, for example, look at this jerkwad, Jagulf, Walker, we got over here. I got to get rid of this doofus. You know, this guy, he comes into the state, he gives $140 million or $150 million tax credits to these corporations, then he turns around and says we have a $150 million hole, and it's the teachers, the union's fault. And so he goes after them. You know, they really took the mask off. I do respect that. He started Occupy, and he took the mask off of these pig-lickings. And now you can sit there and say, that is a pig-licking. Do you see that? Do you see what he wants to do? No.
Yeah, see, we'd like for Joe Manchin to do that here. You know, him with his, you know, voting for conscience business and bipartisan bills with Marco Rubio. You know, the sucker's got to run for a real Senate seat next year. So, you know, just spare us the BS of John Racey and register as a Republican that you are and quit playing.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that's the other thing. Stop wasting everyone's time. You know, it's not even just everyone. This is civilization. This is just, you know, our abstract concept of where we come together. They're wasting civilization's time. You know, we may, you know, like this guy came out, you know, we may or not be, we're within the window of peak oil. We're either in it or we're getting there, and that's why we're using the tar sands and everything else. So, in my opinion, we're there already. You know, we're there. We don't have this access anymore. And, you know, so a guy like Walker comes in, blames the union, starts all this crap, and kills the high-speed rail. And it wasn't even really high. The 100-mile-an-hour railroad, okay? He comes in and kills that. You know, which it's just.
Yeah, that's like saying 1.5 is high speed internet.
Well, yeah, pretty much. And he's sitting there and does this, and then he's talking about job, you know, because now, you know, Wisconsin, you know, Wisconsin's paying for his ass now. I mean, we're one of the worst in terms of the nation. One of the worst. And we've lost the most amount of jobs recently in this turnaround that's happening. Where is it lagging? Here. It's lagging here. You know, and if we would have had some high-speed rail up, you know, and I don't know if they would have had the track laid out. You know how they drag their legs. But we could have a track. If we had a track between here and Madison and Madison and La Crosse or Madison and Chicago, heck, I could commute. Because, I mean, you know, you don't want it to drive.
I mean, I love driving, don't get me wrong, but every day having to drive 2.5-3 hours to work, that's crazy. But if you're taking the train, you bring the paper, you can bring an iPhone, you can bring an iPad, all this. There's things to do to entertain. You can bring work with you. There's a million things to do, you know. So when you cut back on infrastructure, you're just cutting your own neck. And if you are too stupid to see that, you definitely don't need to be a leader. You're cutting infrastructure, you moron. What's wrong with you? Of course we're going negative in jobs. You're giving these tax credits to these corporations. Then you're not saying, but, you know, put some jobs here, you know. No, they're going over here in Minnesota, wherever else they go, and we're losing jobs, we're hemorrhaging jobs in this state, you know, and it's not my fault, he says. Well, you know, I don't know, president not sure, seems to be kind of, at least as we said, you know, these first few years, you know, we know how bad the Bush years were. He stopped the bleeding. The sucking chest wound is, you know, got a Band-Aid on it, and we're in the little MASH helicopter now, and we're starting to go, and now we need to start rebuilding correctly, and, you know, when we rebuild this person that's, you know, the economy and it's got the sucking chest wound, well, geez, we're going to have to do some infrastructure here. You know, half the rib cage is gone. You know, the rib cages fall. Every time they sneeze, there's a rib flying out, right? We got bridges collapsing and roads looking like this and this and this and that, and what do we got? We have our universities pumping out things like Stanford with the wireless tech, you know, transmission of energy in the road system to vehicles. What else did Stanford just do? They just did another one. It slips my mind now. But, you know, I mean, they're constantly, it's either MIT or Stanford or somebody, they're coming out with something that's just crazy. That's going to literally be a paradigm shift. You know, and that's what it is when we talk about kids with computers and technology. It's a paradigm shift. It's a completely new paradigm shift. And to think that people like Newt Gingrich or Milquetoast Romney or Man on Dog Frothy Bromix over there, to think that any of these guys are going to lead us to the future. Brother Bob, come on now. I got a bridge to sell you, brother.
Santorum wants to lead us to the boldly into the 9th century.
Yeah, and why do they keep calling Obama a warmonger? I know he says nothing's off the table, so on and so forth, and this and this and that, but I don't hear any Democrats talking about, you know, bombing Iran. And all I hear is these Republicans talking about bombing Iran. That's all they ever talk about. That's what we need to bomb them. We need to bomb them. We got to protect Israel. We got to do this. This is the other thing. I think Israel's full of it. You know what, Israel? If you're so badass, and I hope you listen, Israel, please listen to me. You need some sense, woman. As a female, you know, come on, Golda Meir, right? So, come on. If you were going to get him, you'd get him. And you wouldn't say anything about it. You just do it like you do when you go and assassinate their scientists. If you're going to attack them, don't threaten them. Just do it. I'm sick of it. Just do it. You're not going to do it? All right, then sit down and shut up and try to make some peace.
Because we've all seen that happen in the school year. I'm going to kick your butt. You meet me right out here by the jungle gym right after school's out, and I'm going to kick your butt.
Yeah.
Because you won't show up because I'm going to kick your butt. I'm going to kick your butt now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else shows up, and the butt kicker, well, my mama caught me. Yeah. Hey, Albert, I got to run, brother. But
all right, Brother Bob.
this has been amazing. Take care.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's Preston.
Well, hey, Preston.
I know we just have a few minutes, but real quickly, I wanted to let you know that I posted a link on your Facebook page regarding a book presentation by a guy named Jeremy Rifkin. And was it Mitt Romney who was saying Obama lives in a fairy land?
Yeah, that he lives in an imaginary world where green energy powers the planet.
Okay. Well, you know, these people, it's just endless deceit, and it makes no sense from certainly environmental points of view or human rights or social justice points of view or security points of view, but if you're representing what Harvey Wasserman calls King Kong, in Kong with a C, coal, oil, nuclear, and gas.
Ooh.
Yeah, you say anything to try to bring down your competition, which is the clean energy, or at least cleaner. I mean, there's certainly still problems with turbines and You know, solar panels, they take mining of minerals, but they last longer. They're not quite as disposable.
Right, and see, I Preston, I had sent an article along to Albert a while back, suggesting that you know, this was another one of those optimistic. He's almost as optimistic as you are, and it was a story about the fact that what is it? This year, just this year. U.S. solar projects rose 67%. That's where you're approaching that level of exponential growth, where you're just where the doubling effect, the you know, compounding of interest or whatever takes effect, and the next thing you know, everybody's looking around going, "What? We used to burn coal for electricity? Damn, that sounds dumb."
Yeah. And I so enjoy that some progressive radio shows have Solar City and Solar World and stuff like that as sponsors.
Well, and just the other night, for those who are outside the South and think that it you know, it's nothing but desolation and behind the cornbread curtain, there's a community, a neighborhood in Nashville. And it's called, I believe, The Gulch. And it is hip, and it is trendy, and it is the first fully LEED-certified neighborhood in the entire South, and 13th on the planet. Well, now, if this can happen below the Mason-Dixie line, it's not near. It's for all the. The hooting and hollering that the knuckle walkers make, you know, they really are. They're standing on the beach, commanding the tide not to come in, because it's going to happen, as Reverbo noted, with them or without them.
Yeah, and hopefully it will be quickly enough, you know, because there's a lot. Going on, a lot of disruptions going on for sure, and it's so sad to see not just what's going on with the, you know, the warmer air, people wondering where winter went, the tornadoes being more intense and the floods and all that, but the oceans being so.
Well, believe me, I am forever wondering, you know, is it too late, just because of where I live. You know, if we stop mountaintop removal today, we have to deal with a generational impact of diseases and cancers and healthcare crises, and that's not even addressing the cleanup that has to be done.
Right.
So that's very much on my mind, Preston. I hate to say it, but I do got to get out of here.
Yeah. So, but you're right. How these problems so grows solutions, and they're developing. So check out, if you get a chance, or anybody, any listener, the Bob Kincaid Facebook page, Jeremy Rifkin, a brilliant guy. So
awesome. I will go and have a look. Thank you, Preston. I hope our next conversation is a little longer.
You bet.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. That's the Horns resident optimist. That's Preston, and it's time to get out of here. Thank you very much for your participation, your patience. The website is back up, and yes, it was taken down by hackers, dirty little bastards. But thank you for your patience. Thank you for your continued support. Remember, the Beat the Swede Challenge is on the table, and your participation is more than welcome. We try to raise about $100 a night, and we didn't see any contributions tonight. But you'll have that. But thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to my head writer, David, in Tennessee, to John Fox for all, and Ben Birch both, for all they did. Get the website back up this evening and everything else they do. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.